going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
We know that Shador Sanders already has said, not happening in terms of going to the draft in Green Bay. So he's not going to be there. He's not going to be there. But Shador Sanders, it seems like even more in the last 24 hours, his stock is dropping somehow. Like he could go as high as number three. I think we all know that. I've said repeatedly that I don't think the Giants should take Shador Sanders at three. I don't think they will take Shador Sanders at three. I think it's a possibility that they could trade down. But I heard today on Get Up on ESPN with Graziano, I think it was, that said this, that he believes, based on calls he's made, that the Giants are more interested in Jackson Dart from Ole Miss than Shador Sanders. We'll see if that holds up. But could he slip past 21? And the Steelers. We heard from Diana Rossini, who was on with JP and B. Mitch from The Athletic. And of course, you know, again, Diana's, she's one of the top five NFL insiders in the game, right? Everybody gets stuff wrong. Nobody's saying anybody's perfect. But Diana basically is, repeating, I guess, what she hears and cobbles through talking to various people. Now, those various people could be sending mixed signals. They could be lying, I guess. It kind of depends, right? That's the danger of sourcing. That being said, she was, of course, asked about Shador Sanders and where he might be falling. So I wanted to, we just played her audio from JP and B. Mitch's show on Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers at 21. But where is Shador going? So here's how she answered that. All right, so that is Diana Rossini with JP and B. Mitch just a little while ago over on The Fan. You want to hear the whole thing? Go to their podcast feed, 106.7 on the Odyssey app. We have a couple more cuts, which we'll get to. But it is important to note, she's not the only NFL insider. So either they're all being misled or they're all getting told the truth. And the reality is that not only are the Giants not interested at three, the Jets don't seem to be all that interested at seven, which I thought originally they might. The New Orleans Saints at nine, I started talking about the Saints, maybe Shador. Nine, long before I even knew Derek Carr probably was more than on the outs in New Orleans and probably never going to play in New Orleans and maybe even the NFL again because of his injury. I thought, okay, for sure, Shedeur Sanders, because he's a quarterback, because he's this, because he's that, because he's tough, he's a competitor. He's resilient. He's good, not great. Surely, he's going to be drafted in the top 20. Now, if he makes it past 21, there's a chance he slips to the second round. Now, do I still think that's likely? No. Because as we talked about throughout the week, there's so many teams. There's so many teams in the back part of this draft that A, don't need a quarterback, and Washington is one of them, right? Philadelphia, Kansas City, Buffalo, Washington, I guess you could make an argument that Detroit might need a quarterback for the future because Jared Goff, I think, is going into the final year of his contract. But I still don't see that with various needs that they have. Baltimore doesn't need a quarterback. I guess you could say the Rams. Right now they have Stafford and Jimmy G. Stafford almost didn't come back. Maybe Shedeur Sanders is a guy that you just sit and let learn for 2 years? I don't know. I mean, he doesn't seem Anthony Richardson raw like that. But I think when you start looking at the teams that, in addition to those teams that I just mentioned that already have their quarterbacks, and again, the Rams are an interesting situation. Houston, Minnesota would sort of be interesting, but I really think they're in on J.J. McCarthy. Green Bay, Jordan Love. Chargers, Justin Herbert, right? So all of those teams certainly are not going to be in on Shedeur Sanders, or at least you would think. But all of the teams in the second round that don't take a quarterback, and let's be honest, once Cam Ward goes at one, if Shedeur Sanders isn't anybody's cup of tea in the top 10, Jackson Dart almost surely is not going to be, but I can't rule anything out, I guess, even though I think that's crazy. Then you have to be looking at Cleveland, the Giants. Jacksonville just gave a boatload of money to Trevor Lawrence, even though he's just okay. And he never has been special. Vegas just traded for Geno Smith and gave him a contract extension, but New England has Drake May. Chicago has Caleb Williams. New Orleans at 40 makes some sense. You heard Diana just explain there that she doesn't even think that New Orleans is going to take an offensive player at 9 overall. So all of these teams could jump back in, which is why I don't think Shedeur Sanders gets out of the first round, and we're sitting here tomorrow going, what the hell happened? But she, and I can't remember if it was Schrager or if it was Graziano, I think it was Graziano, that said the same thing, that he thought it was very possible that Shedeur is left standing at the end of the night. Is that possible? Would that be highway robbery? Would that be an insult? Would that be a slap in the face to you? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. It would not be to me. I don't think it'll happen. I think somebody will trade up and get him. I think it's very possible that he could go in the 25 to 32 range. I think it's very possible. And you might want to even say likely. I don't know if I would say likely, but possible, very possible. But you could say likely. But I do not think he's going to last to the second round. That's me. That's more gut feel. But I'm telling you, for all of you Shedeur Sanders people out there, again, what does he do that makes you go, oh, he's going to be great at this on the next level? What does he do that makes you think, wow, Look at that cannon for an arm. Wow, look at those legs. Wow, look at that anticipation. Look at that timing. Look at that ball location. Does he do any of that? Am I being too hard on him? Maybe I am. Maybe I am.
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
I agree with you that he doesn't have a great standout ability. Even the things that he does well, like his processing speed, how he reads defenses, and how they trust him in mm-hmm. that offense with certain route schemes and route concepts, there are times he holds the ball well, and there are times where he takes sacks, and he may not throw a receiver open or throw him out of the break. He may be late on some throws, but he still does those things. Mm-hmm. And some would argue, like a couple of months ago, he's the best at that in the draft. There is a lot of speculation about the reason he's dropping is how he performed in the interviews. They're saying that Daboll didn't like him in the
right.
interview.
Well, we haven't even gotten to this part yet. Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah.
No, but go ahead, because it's a great point.
No.
I want you to go. Now, Daboll seems like a kind of a hard guy to please, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's Grumpy McStuffins if anybody is.
But that's supposed to be, at least as Giants fans right. and what it's been portrayed, that's supposed to be like the quarterback whisper.
Is that... Here's the question. I wonder if it's like one or two guys that didn't like Shedeur Sanders or that thought he was a little too cocky or a little too full of himself. And those are the guys that happen to be chirping.
Yeah. I think that has to do. I was going to get to that point. It's like, I think that these quarterbacks are average and there are a lot of things that you can point out that, okay, this is not good. This is not good. We're going to have to work on this. We're going to have to work on this. Whereas the rest of the draft, there are studs. Mason Graham is a stud. Will Campbell is a stud. Abdul Carter, this is his first year playing edge, and you see how he performs.
Right.
So we're like
right.
projecting him to be a lot better. A lot of corner. There are a lot of great players in this draft, and I have no sources to say this, but I'm thinking maybe that's also a reason why Shedeur Sanders is falling down the draft.
I don't think it really has anything to do with other great players. I think it's the combination of whoever's chirping about the bad interviews or the not great interviews or however you want to term them, right? That, along with the non-elite traits, along with, and again, this is something that we mentioned yesterday, something that we've mentioned throughout the process, but something that hasn't been, at least to this point, a problem that we know of, is what Daddy Warbucks, Daddy Dion, what his role in all of this is. Again, you have to be strong-minded. You have to be fearless to deal with Deion Sanders, who is constantly going to be saying things that's going to stir up a little hornet's nest. He may not have been able to control the draft like he once threatened to do, but he sure can start a, what's the right word? A barnstorm, you know, a house fire, if you will, by one innocuous thing that he might say that will get chopped up on Stephen A. Smith's show and get up because they're all like vultures. Anything anybody says, we're on it, and we're going to dissect it 16,000 ways to Sunday. So if Shedeur is not playing for whatever team, Giants, Steelers, Saints, Jets, whatever team, and Deion says, well, he's asked a question. Hey, man, what's going on with Shedeur? Why isn't he playing? Do you think he should be playing? And he says, yeah, I think he should be playing. Well, that's going to stir up a huge controversy. And some of you might dismiss that as no big deal. It's the stupid media. You guys are the ones that don't understand how this works, because the stupid media, or as you refer to, the stupid media, asks a question, right? Which is a fair question. hey, man, you're his former college head coach. You're his dad. Why is he not playing when such and such looks like he's struggling? Right? So you got to be ready to deal with that. You got to be ready to deal with all the rumors that Deion is going to come and replace you. So I think it's the non-elite traits. I think it's Daddy Deion. And I think on top of that, it is whatever is going on in these interviews that maybe has rubbed two or three or four people the wrong way. Those three things could easily drop you into the second round. Now, again, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't know, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I would be pretty surprised. You would be pretty surprised too, A-Mac, right?
Yeah, if he falls today too, yeah.
Because you've been dry. I mean, is it fair to say that you have disputed my stance on number three and your beloved Giants?
Yeah, I wouldn't be. And I think that it has to go into the fact that the Giants next year, if we don't have Shador, we will be in the same situation.
Right. But next year is an elite, is supposed to be.
Yeah, an elite class.
An elite quarterback class, maybe close to similar like last year.
But then it's like, how do you get to the top of the draft? How do you ensure, especially with Russell Wilson on your schedule?
Yeah.
With Russell Wilson like taking the helm, I'm looking at it as like around a 500 team.
Right, so we're like a 7-8 win team.
Yeah. So we're looking at the middle of the draft. How do you get back to – you got to deal with the cards you're dealt right now. You can't predict and look forward to the future. And also – having a rookie quarterback on your roster and winning seven games, I've said this before, it looks different than Russell Wilson being your quarterback and not having a rookie backup and winning seven games a year. There's promise with the rookie quarterback who may or may not have any starts under his hand with seven games.
All right. That's the Shador Sanders story. We can, you know, you can hop in on that. Where do you think ultimately he will go? Team, slot? Do you think he'll be there tomorrow still? However you see that, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. You can tweet me, X me, whatever, at WrestleMania621. That's at WrestleMania621. Coming up, where Daniel Jeremiah has the Commanders going in the first round tonight, might surprise you a little bit if you've been paying attention, and a wide receiver, I don't know how he compares to everyone else because I haven't done a full exhaustive study. I know a lot of what I've heard and a lot of what I've read, but a receiver that when I actually watched a bunch of games on, for whatever reason, somebody had a bunch of game cut up on him, I really liked him, and he reminded me of a Commander on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, that is Diana Russini again of The Athletic with JP and B. Mitch earlier today over on 106.7 The Fan. Again, you could listen to the whole interview. So basically, she confirms what we all know, which is they're trying to move out and they're trying to trade out. Now, what good teams, I presume all teams, but not all teams are good teams, and smart front offices do, and what Adam Peters and Lance Newmark basically admitted to the other day, which is, hey, man, these last couple of days, you're making all sorts of calls. You're talking about all sorts of trade down options, trade up options, what have you. So it's not a surprise that something like that would leak, because Diana could be talking to, I don't know, Cleveland, Andrew Berry, Paul D. Podesta, Kevin Stefanski, whatever, but probably a general manager. And she might say, hey, what teams do you think are trying to trade down? Or what teams have you heard are trying to trade down? And he might be like, you know, like Washington and Philadelphia. Right? And then that's how you get a report like that. But it makes sense. It makes sense. What we don't know is who's going to be available at 29 that it really makes sense. And again, even we might perceive somebody being there and then they trade down and you're like, wait a second, how did they? Well, again, if they look and they say, well, the edge market, right, is our top need. And I don't think anybody would really dispute that in terms of a pure pass rusher. Well, there's three or four guys. We think we can get one of them that we really like. We've got a bunch of guys closely graded. Again, that's how that happens. So there's got to be a team willing to tango, and there's got to be basically a surplus at the position that you're trying to target or that you want to target. Or you just stay at 29 and you take that player if you got a top 15 grade on him and he's sitting there at 29. And it, especially if it's at a need position and it matches up, or you could take another position and say, nah, you know what? The edge class is so deep that we know we can get one of these guys at 61 or wherever. I mean, there's so many different options. Let me give you the player that when I watched him, I thought, Commander. And he's in the news this morning. Around the NFL, which is the NFL's media's, you know, Twitter marketing arm thing. So NFL.com. And Ian Rappaport retweeted it and added to it. is saying that Shavon Ravel, the East Carolina quarterback, and we'll have more on him coming up, and Iowa State's wide receiver, Jaden Higgins, could be sleeper picks in tonight's first round. When I watch Jaden Higgins, and granted, I did not watch as much tape this year as I normally do. I just didn't have the time between Ovechkin and the Caps, all the baseball that I do. I don't do one sport, guys. Paulie's screaming out there and trying to stir up the hornet's nest because I had the audacity to lead with the Capitals, which tells you that Paulie's out to lunch, that he doesn't understand radio, which we all knew. Just because it's NFL draft day, that doesn't mean you drop everything. Especially when the team that you cover the most is picking 29. Stop being a dodo brain, Paulie. But when I watched Jaden Higgins, and I watched, four different games that were all part of this cut-up, a lot of short passes, but he creates separation quickly off the line. He's a really good readjuster catcher. He was good at high pointing the football on a go route over the middle of the field. He was good at those 50-50 passes that you got to climb the ladder and go up and get and fight through defensive back's arms. I saw him with a back shoulder pass for a contested touchdown against Iowa. That was the first game I watched. I saw him over the middle against Houston. Then he ran a go route in which the quarterback overthrew. He didn't really get great separation, but then he ran a really good slant. I love slants. Used his body as a shield. Went down to the ground, got it. I saw him with quick spin moves after the catch. I saw him plenty of times just catch the ball with his back turned to the defender. Shoom! Spin out and gain 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 extra yards. Then I saw him with a really, really, really good one-handed catch for a touchdown. It was wiped out because of a penalty. Not on him. Then I saw him, again, using his body as a shield for a touchdown in the red zone on an inside-out move. That was against Houston. Pretty decent team. Against Baylor, I saw a deep go. He drew a DPI, defensive pass interference. Out of the slot, drew another defensive pass interference with a quick jab move off the line of scrimmage. I saw him come back for one and leap up and catch a touchdown, all against Baylor. I saw him with a third DPI, drawing a third DPI in the same bleeping game. Then against West Virginia, I saw him with a spinning sideline leaping catch. I saw him shake and bake on a little short route and then get big yardage after the catch. These are all my notes that I saw. Against UC, and that was against West Virginia, against UCF. He carved up off man coverage and like seemed to have, I don't know, not only a body presence, but also just a good feel for those short and intermediate routes. Now, why do I say he's a commander? Because he's tough. He's physical. I think he's good after the catch. I think he's a guy that you can line up opposite of Terry McLaurin and maybe even with stacked. You can line him up in the slot. I saw him a bunch in the slot. You can line him up outside depending on what happens with Debo. I think he could be an ideal Debo replacement. I think you could use him even more than I saw. Again, jet sweeps. Maybe you use him kind of in a similar young Debo role. Get him the ball. He's not going to like blow you away in terms of, oh my goodness, look at the incredible athleticism. It's not what we're talking about here. But we're talking about a physical, good hands, versatile, good route running, create separation, use your body well, contested tough catches, a variety of different catches, going low to the ground, back shoulder, climbing the ladder, working inside and outside, drawing defensive pass interferences. Hey, man, that's a skill. That's a skill. Who was it last year that drew a bunch of defensive pass interferences? I think it was Noah Brown, right? I mean, whatever you want to say about Noah Brown, he's always hurt, and he is. Noah Brown drew like four or five defensive pass interference penalties last year in the half a year that he played. Jaden Higgins is a guy that I think could be, and again, NFL.com is saying he could be a sneaky back end of the first round pick. He could be a guy that the Commanders take. I don't know if they will. Just if they do, you heard it here first. And you heard the breakdown here first. 301-230-0980. All right, let's get to a quick trending alert, and then we will get to your calls, I promise. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, it is round one of the NFL draft. And as we've been talking about with Shedeur Sanders, could he even fall out of the first round? We will all find out tonight. Draft starts at 8 from Green Bay. Our coverage begins officially, unofficially at 4 with Craig Hoffman doing a 4-hour NFL draft preview show until 8 o'clock. And then Linnell Willingham and Toby Altizer take you pick by pick by pick. Commanders on the clock at 29 in tonight's first round. Again, hear it all here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, the Nats look for the sweep over the Orioles. Tonight, you can catch it 6:15, the pregame coverage, 6:45, the first pitch. Mackenzie Gore on the mound looking for the sweep against the Orioles at Nationals Park. And in the NBA playoffs tonight, with the Caps having the night off and in Montreal for tomorrow night's Game 3. So the NBA, if you're looking for something more, you got the Pistons and the Knicks tied at 1, first up at 7 o'clock. Oklahoma City looks to take a commanding 3-0 lead. They look to take command at 9:30 over Memphis and Denver, and the Clippers are knotted up at 1-1, Game 3 of the night at 10 o'clock, and that's what's trending.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, that's Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. And yeah, I mean, listen, everyone that wants you, that gets mad at you, I heard Lewis Riddick, and I like Lewis Riddick, just berate people for not being in love. I mean, Lewis Riddick, I got to be honest with you, sometimes he's wrong. And I'll raise my hand too. Sometimes I'm wrong, and I'm along with Lewis Riddick, like I was on Dwayne Haskins, the late Dwayne Haskins. I was dead wrong. I said he would be the best passing quarterback in the draft. Dead wrong. I knew Daniel Jones would not work out. I had no problems thinking that.
Anyone but the Giants GM.
Yeah, but I had no problems thinking that. I mean, I thought Daniel Jones was a byproduct of all the Manning media hype and all that stuff. Just because he was coached by David Cutcliffe. Get lost. Get out of here. But I was wrong on Dwayne Haskins, and so was Lou. So the notion that anybody doesn't think that Shedeur, you know, and here's another thing that I can't stand. Oh, why all the hate on Shedeur? Nobody's hating on him. Because you don't love a guy, whether you're right or wrong, because you're not going like a lapdog going. Because you're not slurping up Shedeur Sanders, get lost. Every everybody's got a right to have an opinion. And we all know the old axiom, right? Opinions are like, everyone has them and they all stink. Anyway, let's get to the phones. Let's go to Ian in Vienna first up here. What's up, Ian? How are you?
I'm going to jump in on the Shedeur Sanders thing. I am hating. The reason I'm hating on him, quote unquote, is he brings it on himself. And I think part of the reason he's going to fall or perceived fall is he's never been coached by anyone besides his father. He has never, I mean, repeat that out loud. At the high school, college, junior level, has never had another voice. And I think that's concerning to me. It's not like he was all world. I want to remind everybody, with a Heisman winner and the likely top three pick, he went 8-10 in the conference between 2023 and 2024. So this is not some Peyton Manning, Patrick Mahomes caliber prospect. And I think the intangibles with him are things he's brought on himself. His behavior is childlike at best. His attitude and cavalier nature about the watch celebration or the I'm this guy or that guy, it's ridiculous. And look, when people are like, well, look, it worked for Deion. Yes, when you're a first ballot Hall of Famer caliber talent and a number one caliber pick where it's beyond discussion, you can act that way. You can act like Deion did and still be drafted that high. Shedeur Sanders is not even in the same stratosphere in that way as his dad. So his tolerance isn't going to be that. I heard Louis Riddick on the segment being like, he's going to question those coaches on what they're calling plays. He's going to want input. Look, when you earn at any job, when you perform and do well, you get more input. But as a rookie, you're not going to get input into your own play calling. Like, again, all of this is brought on by himself and to some degree his dad. Retiring his number was so laughable. It just speaks to kind of this level of delusional behavior mm-hmm. and attitude that teams don't want.
Yeah. Like Daddy Deion pulled the strings on that. Daddy Deion pulled the strings on it. We talked about that last week. I think you called last week about that when we talked about it, right? Daddy Deion pulled the strings on that. And that's part of the problem, Mayan.
Yes, exactly. So put me down as a hater or whatever. But these people, I really question their intellectual acumen if they don't understand why teams aren't eager to draft someone like this with, let's say, marginal to above marginal talent and with everything he brings. Like, it's just, ask yourself, if you ran a team, would you want to bring this on for him? Most people would say no. Of course they wouldn't, you know?
I don't blame you, and that's probably why a lot of people think he might slip certainly into the back part of the first round, which is where I now I've kind of settled on. I thought originally I'd go in the top 10, but, you know, don't look like there's a top 10 team that really, really, really is enamored by him. Again, I still think he'll be in that bottom part of the first round, but could I see when we reconvene tomorrow afternoon? Absolutely, could do that. Good call, as always, Ian. Thank you. Good to hear from you. Let's go to Dale in Hyattsville next up. Dale, how are you?
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
Hey, Dale, what's going on?
Oh, not too much, man. I tell you, all this is like what you were saying. All this is engineered by Deion Sanders. He's the one decided that Shedeur would not participate in the underwear Olympics, as they call it. So what happens that, you know, and I think that was a miscalculation. I think that if you don't have to run, but you could actually show them how you can throw the ball and the different routes and stuff like that you can do. They did the combine at Colorado, and his speed, they were talking about, oh, he's about a 4.3, he's about a 4.4. He came in about a 4.5. And that was very noticeable to the people in there. Now, the draft tonight, I was looking at three teams. I look at New Orleans, I look at the Raiders, and I look at Pittsburgh. If he doesn't get picked by any of those three teams, I see him in the second round. I don't see anybody else on the bottom that wants him because they have quarterbacks. Washington don't want him, and Kansas City don't want him, and Green Bay don't want him, and Buffalo don't want him. But I think that Gable, the guy up in New York, this is the same guy that when he was hired, he had Daniel Jones. And he had a couple of years with Daniel Jones, and he saw this guy's not the quarterback. I don't care. This is an opportunity for you to pick some kind of quarterback. It has to, because you can get Russell Wilson is not what he was when he was at Seattle.
And they're trying to win enough games in New York just to save their jobs. That's what they're trying to do. develop a quarterback. I mean, they could develop a quarterback, but it's not going to be with the number three overall pick if they're thinking the way most people would be thinking when their asses are on the line. I got to win, and I got to figure out how to get a guy on the field week one.
And Cleveland needs a quarterback. They moved on to with Deshaun Watson. They moved on to him. But that's the team that really needs it. So I'm looking at those three teams. If he don't get picked by those three teams, I think it's going to be second round. I don't see any other teams on that bottom that want him. They already got a stable quarterback. That's all I got to say.
All right. Appreciate it. Good call. Thank you, Dale. Nice to hear from you, as always. Let's 301-230-0980. Let's take a quick timeout. Lou is on the horn, so we'll get him in at some point here. And as well, we've got to get to Daniel Jeremiah's final mock draft and who he had picking the Commanders. A little bit of a surprise. And as well, Field Yates of ESPN's got a final mock. Ben Standing's got a final mock. So we got to get to all of that over the next hour and change right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, good to have you with us as we wrap up hour number two. Still a final hour of power left to go. Tomorrow, Joe Beninati will join us from Montreal. So we will certainly get you ready for the Capitals and the Canadiens in Game 3. The next hour is going to be all about you as back half of this hour was. We still got to get to all those various mocks. I was going to take Lou here, but we're just going to have to hold off for a second. We just got some tough news that I just saw. Gilbert Arenas was, of course, a very controversial, polarizing star here in Washington. He has a son, Elijah Arenas, who is 18. According to Shams Charania, unfortunately, the five-star prospect, and USC commit Elijah Arenas was involved in a serious car crash early this morning. He is hospitalized and placed into an induced coma. Sometimes, I'm not a medical expert by any means, sometimes that is to stabilize somebody. That doesn't mean always bad and always the end. It's not great by any means. I'm not going to say anything about Gilbert Arenas. I mean, he's not somebody that I would ever want to be friends with. But as a father, you're 18. I mean, it is, again, a huge fear of mine every day, me driving, never mind my kids and the people that I love. There's so much bad on the road, so much arrogance, so much just horribleness, and so much so many problems. Best way I could say it. I have no idea what happened here, but just, thoughts. And I just hope that as a dad, because it's the only way I can justify, relating to this, that he's okay and he makes a recovery. But this is just, it's not the kind of news that you want to ever read. Even though I know nothing about the kid, I had no idea that he was that talented. Just awful, awful. So I just hope he's okay. I hope Gilbert, I hope he's okay. And I hope he doesn't have to deal, with any further issues than just this. So this is just horrible. All right, we'll take a time out here at the top of the hour, and we'll try and regroup on the other side of 3 o'clock, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.